Names or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to join with us this afternoon. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. The telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you today. And let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again that we can be on the radio again today. We just pray you bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody today. Help us to point people to Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's coming up on probably a busy weekend for a lot of churches, of course, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people have been talking about different things this past week. They call it Holy Week or the Passion Week, various terms given to it, starting with Sunday, last Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then the various events that occurred between Palm Sunday and the Last Supper, the betrayal, and then the trial, the crucifixion, and then finally the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today and go through a little bit of a timeline as well. And I've got some information, some material to share. But also, if you've got a question, we like to have your calls come in. We like to have your questions. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the telephone lines, like I said, they're open, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this afternoon with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. When we look at these things, of course, a lot of things I get asked, and I was asked actually a couple times this week if we were doing anything today for Good Friday. And I said, well, we've got our regular radio program Sunday afternoon, 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And then we've got our regular Friday night Bible study from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. Other than that, nothing really special. And a lot of times you get looked at you like, well, you're almost sacrilegious by saying nothing special on Good Friday, because a lot of people believe and really believe that this Friday is a day that's unlike any other Friday. It's the day that the Lord was crucified, and as a result, you shouldn't go to work. A lot of places are closed today. A lot of businesses are closed, and markets are closed, and a lot of churches have special Good Friday observances. And across the Philippines on Good Friday, you'll see faithful Catholics across the Philippines, even though the church tries to restrict it, but every year it seems like there's more and more. They'll have themselves literally nailed to crosses, crucified like Christ was. And it's kind of a sad thing that they do, and I think personally it's a mockery of the Lord's sacrifice, but they do it nonetheless. And in some places in the Philippines, they're actually hoisted up over top of the entrance to the churches, and people believe that if they crawl in on their hands and knees underneath these people and some of their blood drips on them, that they'll receive some kind of help with relieving them of some of their sin debt. And that's certainly not true. But you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Al, you don't believe that Jesus was crucified? No, I didn't say that. I said, I don't believe he was crucified on Friday. And let me give you the reasons for that. And let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12. And this actually stems from a question that we had on our Sunday night program this past Sunday night. We have, of course, a live a call-in program every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. And one person called and asked about the timing of Jesus' crucifixion. And we looked at a passage, and we're going to jump from that passage into a little study of this here today. And that's Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, and the Bible tells us in verse number 38 that the scribes and the Pharisees and such were questioning Jesus. And it says in Matthew 12, verse 38, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, say, Master, we would see a sign from thee." Now, they were having trouble accepting Jesus as the Messiah, despite all of the signs that he had performed, all the miracles that he had performed, and despite the fact that he fulfilled the prophecies relating to the coming of the Messiah perfectly up until that point. And so they still didn't want to accept him. So they said, "We would see a sign from thee." And Jesus answered in verse 39, said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was," and Jonas, of course, is a Greek version of Jonah, and "for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, this is a prophecy that he's making about how long he would be in the tomb, and it's very clear. He says the Son of Man is going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, here's a question. If Jesus was crucified on Friday, how can Jesus' prophecy be correct? And here's what I mean. People will say, well, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days. And that makes sense. You can count part of a day as a whole day. People do it all the time. Well, that would be fine, except let's read Matthew 12, verse 40 again. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, let's count this up. Friday, 1 day. Friday night, 1 night. Saturday, 2 days. Saturday night, 2 nights. Sunday, 3 days. Oh, wait a minute. Where's the third night? Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus specifically said, the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he emphasized that by referring back to Jonah in the Old Testament, who was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And so the emphasis, 3 days and three nights. If Jesus was crucified on a Friday, we have a very big problem, because Jesus would have only been in the tomb 3 days, but only two nights. And that's counting, you know, parts of days as whole days. So that's a problem. Now, we need to reconcile this problem with the scriptures, because Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22 says, "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." If Jesus Christ was not in the tomb 3 nights as well as 3 days, then he would have been a false prophet. And I do not believe that Jesus Christ was a false prophet. He's God manifest in the flesh, and so therefore God cannot lie, and the things that God speaks must come to pass. And if Jesus, God in the flesh, said that he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights, then he must have been in the grave 3 days and three nights. Say, well, wait a minute. Jesus rose on Sunday, not on Monday. Well, is that what the Bible says? Let's take a close look at what the Bible says. Luke chapter 25 in verses 50 through 56, as well as in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 31, the Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified on the day before the Sabbath. Now, the day before the Sabbath, this is going to get interesting here, because generally we look to the weekly Sabbath, which would be Saturday. And so we would assume that this reference in Luke 23 and John 19 is referring to Friday, which would be the day before the weekly Sabbath. But then we still have the problem of 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday morning. And so that would cast doubt upon the credibility of both the Bible and Jesus Christ. So we got to look at this a little bit closer here. And in John chapter 19, verse 31, let's take a look at what it really says. It says in John 19, verse 31, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day," then notice this in parentheses, there's an extra bit of information that gets missed frequently. It says, "For that Sabbath day was an high day." Now, that's a little bit of information that was added in parentheses. And so it continues on. "They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." Now, what this tells us is that the Sabbath that Jesus was crucified prior to was actually prior to a certain Sabbath called a high day. This was a high Sabbath, and it's distinct from the weekly Sabbath. I believe there was a day in between the two, and we'll look at that in a little bit as well. But if Jesus was crucified on the day before the high Sabbath, remember they were celebrating the Passover that week, and we'll see that Jesus was actually crucified when they were getting ready for the preparation of the Passover celebration. That was the high Sabbath that week. And then there was a day after that between the Passover Sabbath, the high Sabbath, and the weekly Sabbath. So that gives us two Sabbaths that week, as well as a day in between them, which would put the crucifixion on Wednesday, not Friday. Now, that gives us plenty of time. That gives us 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday during the day, and it gives us three nights, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night between the crucifixion and the resurrection. That's pretty good. But a lot of people say, well, no, wait a minute. If Jesus was crucified on Wednesday and we get the 3 days and three nights, if Jesus rose from the grave at sunrise on Sunday morning, as the Bible says, he rose on the first day of the week, then wouldn't we have a fourth day? We would have 4 days and three nights, and wouldn't 4 days and three nights be just as much of a problem as only 3 days and two nights? Well, yes, it would. But let me ask you this. Where in the Bible does it say that Jesus rose at sunrise on Sunday morning? The Bible says he rose on the first day of the week. Now, you have to understand that in the Jewish way of reckoning the days did not start at sunrise. They did not start at midnight. They started at sundown. That comes from in the book of Genesis chapter 1, where it says the evening and the morning was the first day, evening and the morning was the second day. It means basically the night hours and the day hours constituted one day. And that for that reason, the Jewish day started at sundown, not at midnight, not at sunrise. And so the first day of the week actually started Saturday at sundown. When the sun went down on Saturday evening, that would have been sundown. Now, here's another thing we have to remember when you're calculating the timing of things in the Bible. Before the invention of clocks, when the sun rose, that was always reckoned to be 6 in the morning, 6 a.m. When the sun was at its highest point in the sky, that would be 12 o'clock and 12 noon. And then when the sun was setting, that would always be 6 p.m. Didn't matter what time of the year. It didn't matter where you were. There were no such thing as time zones. It's just that when you saw the sun come up in the morning, that was 6 a.m. When you saw the sun go down at night, that was 6 p.m. And so 6 p.m. would be sunset. And at Saturday night at 6 p.m., the sun would set and it would become the first day of the week. So the first day of the week would last from Saturday at sunset until Sunday at sunset. And so we look at these things, and as a result, we can get a timeline, because you have to fit in the other events of the Holy Week in to this timeline as well between Palm Sunday and the resurrection of Christ. And so I'm going to run through a few things here, and I'll have to give some of the references out. If you want a copy of this, you can log on to our website. The information will be given at the end of the program, live.maplenoel.com. You can get there by that. Certainly, you can Google our program and find it as well. And I have that linked on there, the timeline as well. But at any rate, I'll run through that. But I'll also, of course, if you've got a question, I've been talking here. 888-677-9673 is the toll-free number. And you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about this or something else in the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. 888-677-9673. All right. Now, getting back to this timeline, and I'm not going to say that what I've come up with is perfect, because we have to remember that not everything recorded in the Gospels is given in a strict chronological fashion. Sometimes they jump around having to do with the different subject matter, and they'll go back and fill things in and things of that nature. And so it jumps about a little bit, so sometimes it's a little hard to sort it out, and you have to compare Scripture with Scripture. But here's my presented timeline, I guess I can come up with, that seems to resolve all of these timings, that allows for Jesus to be certainly in the grave 3 days and three nights. It allows him to be crucified as our Passover lamb, and it certainly accounts for the other events. And so we'll just run through this a little bit. Unless you give us a call, 888-677-9673. On Sunday, which we would call Palm Sunday, that would be last Sunday, we celebrated the entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem from Bethphage on a borrowed donkey. The people lined the road with palm branches and garments, crying, "Hosanna." And then he entered into the temple, he looked around, and then in the evening he headed out to Bethany with the 12 disciples. And remember, he stayed there in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, I believe it was. On Monday, he returned to Jerusalem in the morning. That's where the cursing of the fig tree that he saw, hoping to have fruit on it. That's another story, too, why he did that. But that happened as he headed in. And then he wept over Jerusalem, and then he entered into the temple. This would be the day the cleansing of the temple took place. He also taught and healed people in the temple, and probably sometime on Monday or possibly on Tuesday is when the chief priests and the scribes decided to kill him. Certainly on Monday evening, he headed back to Bethany in the evening. And then it would appear that the feast at the house of Simon the leper occurred on Monday night. And also this would have been the night that Judas Iscariot became disgruntled with him and decided in his heart that he would betray him. And so we'll pick up some of those more here in just a little bit, but we've got Nancy calling in. And Nancy, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. You know, I was originally going to ask you about how do you explain the 3 days between Friday and Sunday. I heard an explanation from either you or Pastor Andy a while back, but I couldn't remember, so thank you for explaining that very well. But my question now is, I witnessed to a lot of, lost people, and what would you say is an effective way of explaining the resurrection in simple terms for a lost person that maybe they can comprehend, and maybe it might, be planting some seed that, they might eventually, come to Christ? Can you think of a really simple way to explain? Because I've been trying to witness to people during this season,
Right. And this is a great time to talk to people, because people are more inclined to go to church at this time of year than at most other times of year, people who usually don't have much interest. And the resurrection is an important thing. I think one of the things you can concentrate on with that is the uniqueness of the resurrection. We're not just talking brought back to life. You know, people are resuscitated all the time in hospitals and by emergency squads and things like that. And even in the Bible, there were people brought back to life. A number of people were brought back to life in the Old Testament. People in the New Testament brought back to life, just like Lazarus that I mentioned earlier. But they died again. And so that was not a resurrection. The resurrection, when Jesus came out of the tomb, was in a resurrected body. And he was the first fruits of the resurrection, the Bible says, or the first, and that's the first resurrection. We have a body right now that's got the curse of sin on it. It ages and it dies. And when we have a resurrected body like that of Christ, that will be a body that no longer ages, no longer dies, and does not have the curse of sin. So the resurrection is very important. It's different than just being brought back to life.
Yes.
The resurrected body is described as a body of flesh and bone. The body that we have right now is described as a body of flesh and blood. And there's some belief that in a resurrected body, there's no need for the blood in that sense, that somehow God permeates it with a life-giving force that keeps it going without aging. And so it's a lot different. But the big thing is that Jesus, in his resurrected body, was the first and the firstborn of the dead, the Bible says. That's where some people get confused, thinking that he's the first begotten, as in the first thing God created. No, he's the first to die and be resurrected with a resurrected body. And this is important also because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, he could not be our Savior. If Jesus had a sin nature, for instance, he would have died on the cross to pay for his own sins, and he couldn't have rose for us. Most of the other major religions of the world, they do not have a living Savior. They follow somebody who's died, Buddha, Muhammad, whatever. And Jesus is different because he died. He was dead. They made sure that he was dead. He was buried in the tomb. He didn't swoon and come revive inside of the cool darkness of the tomb and shrug himself out of the clothes that he was wrapped up in with about 100 pounds of spices and ointment. Then in the pitch black of the tomb, find out where the stone was, and even though it had been sealed with a cement on the outside, just to kind of push it away, even though it was a large stone that took several men to move, and then it dropped into a trench, and then they would have had to lever it out of the trench. He didn't just, in his weakened condition, push that aside and sneak out without the Roman guard outside hearing or seeing anything. He was dead. In fact, as Pastor Lutz in a program before us pointed out, the stone wasn't rolled away for him. The stone was rolled away so that the people could see into the tomb that he was already gone. And that's what we're talking about the resurrection. He would have rose early on the first day of the week, which would have been after sunset on Saturday. And in the early morning hours when the women came to the tomb, they found they were wondering who would roll the stone away. An angel rolled the stone away, and this was before sunrise because it says it was still dark. The sun hadn't come up yet on Sunday morning, and the stone was rolled away by the angels, and the tomb was empty. They said, come see the place where the Lord lay, where he used to be. And so the resurrection is a unique event. Without the resurrection, we would have no Savior. Without the resurrection, we would have no forgiveness of sin. The resurrection is so important that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is a great passage, the last half of that talking about what our resurrected body will be looking like, where it says this mortal puts on immortality, this corruption puts on incorruption and all of that. But in the first half of that, Paul gives a tremendous defense of the resurrection of Christ. Now, hear the music there. We got less than a minute. But let me just say what Paul says, and I would go to chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Paul preaches, he says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, it so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. And he sums that up, and he says that this is the most important thing. Hey, out of time, thanks, and God bless. Have a great Resurrection Sunday.
You just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.